Hi, this is Jay Washburn.
And I'm Joe Bendosky.
And this is Start Writing.
And we are continuing our discussion of the different kinds of endings you can have in your book. We did a general episode, all the elements of the end, and then last time we did all the elements of a happy ending. So this week we are talking about a cliffhanger ending. So we'll cover briefly general points of cliffhanger that kind of apply to both endings and chapters, and then we'll dig into the more specifics of ending a book with a cliffhanger. And then we will do a separate episode about chapter cliffhangers because there's just a lot that goes into that as well. So, going to go through a brief history here. We'll talk about kind of and the purpose. So, the term cliffhanger, I think most people are familiar, but I figured we'd cover it because this is our episode on cliffhangers, comes from A Pair of Blue Eyes by Thomas Hardy, where he literally left the character hanging off a cliff.
Man, I am so curious. I want to at least read the last chapter.
That's funny. So it's not the first time the device was used, right? I think there's the book A Thousand Nights of Stories, and it's the premise is that
wait, like 1001 Arabian Nights.
Yeah. I think it might be a different version of that.
That's a really old story.
So the princess or the queen, I can't remember, is condemned to die by hanging. And
so the king, every night he's worried about infidelity, so he'll marry a woman and execute her the next morning. And so Scheherazade doesn't want to die, doesn't want to get the axe, so she leaves a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
so the next morning, she's like, I guess I won't kill you today. I got to hear the end of the story.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's I hadn't even thought of that.
So the device is older than that, but the term comes from Hardy's book. Mm-hmm. But writers have been doing this to readers for a very long time. So the purpose is that readers like convenient places to put the book down. Life has demands. Eating, showering, working, appointments. Readers have to stop for these things. And as a writer, we deal with the big issue. If the reader puts the book down and never picks it up again, they will never finish it. They will never love it. They will never review it. And they will never tell their friends about it. So to fight all of this, we have cliffhangers, right? You end the chapter with a cliffhanger. And even if they stop there because they have to go to work, they're coming back because the cliffhanger has their attention. In a book, at the end of a book, it serves the purpose to get them to buy the next book, to keep them continuing the story, where it is a little bit different than when you put it in a chapter. So one of the biggest, I think, cliffhangers we've had recently was the Avengers Infinity Wars, right? Massive cliffhanger, particularly in movies where that's fairly rare, right? Yeah. So they took it, they broke it in two, and they left us with a very big cliffhanger, knowing we'd be waiting like 2 years for the next film.
Man, and if you bought a ticket for the first film, it was basically guaranteed. Yeah, it was like you had to see the second half of the movie. It was that big.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. You got to keep going.
And then there's another technique that we see where writers will employ cliffhangers in the early parts of a novel, but not the later. And the reason they do this is, you know, the first couple chapters, the reader's trying to decide if they're going to read this book. They're not invested enough in it to kind of be like, I'm in it to see what happens to these characters. I care about them. And so what they'll do is the first, you know, 3-4 chapters end in cliffhangers, and then they stop because they're like, now you're attached to the characters and you're in it for that character journey. That's what's pulling you back. And the cliffhanger was just to get you invested until that point. So you actually see this in Shakespeare, right? Act 1 almost always ends with a cliffhanger, but Acts 2 and 3 don't, because by then he's like, I've got your attention. I'm not worried about losing it anymore, right? And so you'll still see that technique used with some writers. Will they'll be like, you know, I just need to get you into the story, and to do that, a couple cliffhangers. And then I don't want to wear you out with that device, right? One show that was famous for wearing people out with cliffhangers was 24, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just brutal cliffhangers every time. And, you know, some people loved it and they just couldn't stop. And some people were just exhausted Yeah. Like, they're like, again, I'm out. You know? And so that Shakespeare technique, now, he learned it from somebody else, is there to kind of deal with that issue. I need you committed to the characters and the overall story, but I don't want to wear you out. Now we'll talk about cliffhangers at the end. So there's a big gamble you're going to take when putting a cliffhanger at an end of a book, because people are expecting the end of a journey of one kind or another. What a cliffhanger does is it creates this kind of anticipation, this suspense. So the character, you know, there's some kind of suspense, some kind of curiosity point, or the character is in danger. And that's what pulls the reader forward. But if that anticipation goes on too long, it can turn to frustration. And when you're dealing from one book to the next, sometimes that can be a long time. And there's a big risk in running that turning into frustration. And it's also going to depend on the genre you write in. Some genres are written in series. And so when it ends with a cliffhanger, they're like, yeah, like it's done. There's more coming. There's another book. Whereas literary fiction is almost never written in series. You end with a cliffhanger, they assume that's just how you chose to end the story. That's the end of the end. Right? And so part of gauging whether or not you can get away with a cliffhanger is knowing your genre and what the readers are prepared for. The readers of fantasy and sci-fi are going to be far more prepared for cliffhanger ending. So here are three distinct types of cliffhanger endings that are in film so that you can see them really quickly. And some of these we've talked about before. So The Empire Strikes Back. Luke faces off with Vader, and then he does his suicide but doesn't die. And then he's saved by Leia. Han Solo is captured. But all of this is promising more story. Saying, this is not the end. There is more to come. You see the same thing in Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. Cliffhanger ending because there is more story. Back to the Future 2, when they made that, they already knew they were making 3. So they did the same thing there. Harry Potter. Wait,
so can I just ask? Fire.
Yeah.
Back to the Future Part 1 ends with Doc coming back from the distant future and saying, I can't remember what he says. Or we're going, we don't need more. We don't need Rose.
Oh, yeah.
But is that significantly different than the ending of number 2? Or?
So I think in the ending of 2, he actually goes into the past, right? So we get the cliffhanger in the Old West. So we're one step into that storyline. Whereas the end of part 1, you don't actually, there's nothing that really pulls you into it. It's just saying Doc and Marty have adventures in time.
Yeah.
Whereas the cliffhanger at the end of 2 is saying, and then, end of the book. Okay. So, right? So I think there's a difference there. So, but yeah, so these sci-fi fantasies, people are familiar and aware of this. And like I said, here it is in film. And the promise of each of these cliffhangers is that there is more story to be told. All right. So, but if we look at The Italian Job in the 1969 version, the cliffhanger here is a joke, right? So their bus is literally hanging off a cliff, right? And all the money is at one end of the bus. And the guys are at the other. And if they get too close to the money, the bus tips.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I want to see this.
The bus tips, right? And so the protagonist goes out by himself, and he gets really close to where maybe he can start grabbing it and pulling it towards him a little bit, and then it slides further away. And so then he looks back at his team, and he says, I've got a great idea. And that's the end of the movie. But it's a joke because throughout the whole movie, most of the big jokes are set up by the protagonist making that statement. I have a great idea. Wow. And so when they end there, you know that's the that's a joke, right? Because a lot of his great ideas just don't work out. They're not great ideas. They're usually terrible.
Well, so that's basically suggesting he's going to try it.
He's going to try
and they're going to fall?
Or who knows, right? But yeah, so that's how it ends with a cliffhanger.
How do you feel when you... Is it... Like funny, huh?
Yeah, I love this funny movie. It's funny because, like I said, it's a joke they've brought around a few times. Mm-hmm. And then
I really want to watch this ending now.
That's how they end it. So that's a cliffhanger that's a joke, But they've, well, I guess later on we'll dig into the specifics of each of these and what they do to set up their cliffhanger endings. And then we have, of course, the Birds ending. This is Alfred Hitchcock's movie, The Birds.
Okay, tell me how it ends. I've seen it, but it's been decades
probably. Okay, so they go in to get the blonde girl. I can't remember her name. And everybody's cut up and covered with bandages.
Oh, yeah.
And they're taking her out to the car to leave. And outside, birds everywhere. Everywhere there are birds. And so she kind of freaks out a little bit. But the birds don't attack. They get into the car, and then they go back, and the little girl wants to bring these two little lovebirds that they have as pets, and she says, they never hurt anybody, and so he lets her take them, and they take them in the car, and the birds kind of flutter around and everything, and they get in the car, and they drive away, and just all the birds are just there.
Oh, and that's the end.
That's the end, yeah.
Why are the birds stationary at that point?
They're not stationary. They're kind of moving around. They're walking, but they're not attacking.
But why? Like, what calmed him down?
I don't remember. Huh. But
yeah, I gotta watch that again.
So, and like I said, we're gonna go into what they have used to make each of these kind of cliffhangers work, because they're all very different as to why they are working.
Okay.
We'll talk about a few other things first. So, some of the challenges with the cliffhanger, right, is they are designed to keep readers reading or buying books or watching the television show, right? Like the TV show most famous for its cliffhangers was Lost, right?
Yeah. Freaking JJ.
So, but there's a balance to that, right? Because if there's not enough of a conclusion and resolution, the audience feels cheated. They came here for this journey that has an end, and now it doesn't, right? It's like, and it's just on the other side of that bend, and you get to the other side of that bend, and it's just another long road. It's like, wait, what? I was going somewhere. So, like I said, the audience expect cliffhangers in chapters in television because the wait isn't that long until you get to find out what the cliffhanger is. But at the end of a novel or a movie, we expect resolution as opposed to cliffhanger. Which is why sometimes they feel cheated, right? And we will talk about kind of managing people's expectations there as well. So some points about cliffhangers, and it is that they need to be abrupt to really kind of work. Like if you spend a long time explaining it, it ceases to feel like a cliffhanger, right? But I'll also say that you can't be too quick because that can cause confusion, right? This, I think we've mentioned this before, like in my book, The Broken Protocol Conspiracy, I had a cliffhanger in one chapter and two of my beta readers said, you need to expand this more because I had to read it twice. And I was like, it was just a little, it was abrupt, but it was a little bit too quick. And so I had to go back and just add two or three sentences to make sure, be like, you're not confused when the cliffhanger happens. You're on edge, right? And a cliffhanger usually generates, you know, one of two big feelings, in either suspense or shock. So this is sometimes hard to judge if it's working, right? You've got to have a cliffhanger big enough that the readers are going to care about the problem that it's creating. And feedback is really the best way. You know, whether you take that to your group or to your beta readers, it's, you know, you're going to want to get feedback to make sure your cliffhangers are landing. And again, so we talked about that anticipation rolling to frustration. So you don't want the resolution of a cliffhanger to drag on too long. And I think this happened to me with Brandon Sanderson a few times in his Way of Kings series. I love the series, but there are a couple times where Kaladin is left in a cliffhanger. And I love Kaladin's story. And the next chapter is not Kaladin's. It doesn't resolve that cliffhanger. It's a whole Shallan chapter. So there were times I would like skim those and I would miss parts of the story because I was frustrated that I couldn't get to that resolution I wanted, right? And so that's a risk when you roll, if you try to push a cliffhanger too far, you frustrate those readers and they'll have different ways of dealing with that. Maybe they'll skip that chapter to get to the resolution, or maybe they skim it like me, or maybe they just get too frustrated and they stop reading.
Yeah.
So you don't want to drag that out too long, particularly, you know, by breaking it up with a piece in between of a different chapter, because now, right, they have this, they're frustrated that they're not getting the resolution, and they've got this whole chunk of book to read that they're currently not invested in because you left them on a cliffhanger that didn't roll into the next chapter. It rolled into two chapters or three chapters away. You know, and there's a balance there because, you know, some writers, they want to push it. Be like, you know, I've got you on a good cliffhanger. I want to keep you here as long as I can because I can keep you reading. But what happens when they get frustrated, right? How because they're not just going to be frustrated. They won't stay in that state. They're going to find a way to solve this problem, whether it be they Google spoilers on your book or they skip ahead or whatever. But it's going to mess up the telling of the story the way you wanted it to work, the way you've designed it to work. So you've got to make sure you don't drag that out too long because that frustration is going to mess it up, your story.
I feel like Dan Brown sometimes does this really well, which is like really his chapters are often super short and punchy and there are a lot of cliffhangers, but they're resolved quickly too.
Mm.
And I don't know. I find myself progressing really quickly through that sort of cliffhanger. Right.
Yeah. And so, and it's not saying you can't do this, but you just have to be careful when you push that line, how far you push it. Because the better your cliffhanger, the shorter that line needs to be because that anticipation's higher. Okay. So let's talk about the types of cliffhangers. So we're going to, now these are more like us looking at the types of cliffhangers we're seeing and then just breaking them down based on what they did. So The Empire Strikes Back, a case study. So if we look at the central conflict that's set up in The Empire Strikes Back, it is between Luke and Vader. The big concern is not that Vader will beat Luke, but that he will convert him to the dark side. This is why Obi-Wan shows up to Ben on Hoth. This is why Luke finds Yoda. This is why Luke trains with Yoda. And this is Luke's big fear the whole time he's with Yoda.
There's that dream that's like a prophecy of
you could
become Vader if you don't watch
it. Yeah, it's the central conflict of the whole narrative. And it is resolved in the conflict between Vader and Luke. He loses the physical battle, but he refuses to submit. And that's when he takes his suicide leap. Right. And so even though we have the story ending with a cliffhanger, we have still resolved the central conflict of the story itself. So and then the cliffhanger itself is not rooted in that story as well. It's not like the whole momentum of the climax leads to cliffhanger, not resolution. So you have those two big points that kind of hinge on that. So the cliffhanger, again, is not failing to resolve the storyline that was presented. The cliffhanger is just the promise of more story.
Man. I have always liked that movie, but I've never appreciated how delicately, like, that's a very precise cliffhanger.
Yeah.
In that it resolves the story and yet leaves so much.
Yeah.
Well, so much to wonder about.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That just like really added to my respect for that movie.
Yeah. So that's how they did it there. And it worked. It tended to work fairly well. Right. The joke. So I kind of covered this already. The way they set this up is that line. I have a great idea, right? And so that, like, you know, it's this kind of rule of three. He says the line, it sets up a series of events that leads to a comedic ending. He says the line, series of comedic events, boom. And then we get the final moment in the final scene. He says the line, and we know comedy ensues.
Does it, like, cut to black? Does it freeze the frame?
It's jumps outside the bus, and then the music starts to play, and it just zooms out as it continues to teeter there.
So that's like increasing the suspense almost. Like.
So, a little bit, but I mean, because it's a comedy, it's about the jokes, right? Yeah. Because the experience you wanted going in was to laugh, and that's the final experience they give you, final laugh. Tied in to the big jokes of the whole movie. So it's all one thread. And so if you look at all of the cliffhangers, what they are all about is addressing what kind of emotional experience you want to have with this kind of story. So now we'll get to the third one, and it's going to stay true to that theme, right? The birds, this is a suspense ending. So, and again, this is a genre that uses cliffhanger endings. These suspense movies, horror movies, they almost always end in cliffhangers. And it is not about promising you a sequel. It's about the nature of the genre. So what we're looking at here is essentially a kind of ghost story, right? You don't tell a ghost story that has a resolution. You tell a ghost story so people are up all night worried about ghosts, right? That's why a ghost story is told. That's why a ghost story is listened to alter your experience of camping in the woods, to make it this kind of spooky experience, right? And if you don't want that, you don't tell ghost stories and listen to ghost stories at the campfire because you know you walk away that way, right? But these people want that experience from a movie. That's what they want. They want to walk away with that creepy suspense, worried and uncomfortable with the world. And so that cliffhanger is about delivering the experience they wanted. We've told you a ghost story, and the ghosts are still out there, right? And so that's what happens at the end of The Birds. And all, as I said, all three of these are about delivering the emotional experience in the cliffhanger that the audience came for. You came to Star Wars for a grand epic. And what did they promise? More grand epic. You came to The Birds for suspense and to be creeped out. And that's how you leave. And you came to the Italian Job to laugh. And that's how you leave.
Well, these are great examples. I'm so impressed.
So impressed with my examples. Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to talk about helping readers deal with cliffhangers. Because they're not all going to be happy about it. Some of them are going to be frustrated. So.
Well, wait. Can I stop you?
Yeah.
Do you think anyone's frustrated with those three examples?
Those three examples are targeted at very specific audiences, and they're handled all very well. Hitchcock knew his audience, and he gave them what they wanted. Right? The Italian Job was a comedy. They said, what would be the best ending to a comedy? If you walked out laughing, right? And how are we going to get you to laugh? He says, we're going to tell you a joke where you get to imagine the punchline, but we've taught you twice how to imagine it, so you've got a good idea. And now you can tell yourself 10, 15 different jokes as you walk out of the theater and laugh at all of them. Because we gave you the line and we've showed you the model. It says we're going to get that imagination going. With Star Wars, they still addressed the central theme of the story. They made sure that there was a narrative that was complete, independent of a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You know, that the flow of the story flows right into it, right? Luke's jump and then surviving is what flows into the cliffhanger. But you still have the completion of the narrative that was the focus of the whole movie. But, you know, I imagine there were people who looked at the Italian Job and said, well, what happens? You know, what happens? I don't know. You know? And there are people who were not big fans of suspense, but who heard Hitchcock was, you know, this great filmmaker and went to see it and be like, ah, are they safe? Did the birds chase them? I don't know. You're like, well, it's a suspense by Hitchcock. He's, you know, if you didn't like the ending, it's not your kind of story. There were people, and I know there are people who walked away from The Empire Strikes Back saying, is Luke dead? I don't know, you know, who are confused by that. So, you know, I think for the most part, a lot of people were happy with the endings. But again, it's part of its target audience. If you're the target audience for these, you probably didn't walk away satisfied. But you were slightly off target market. You may have been unhappy with the cliffhangers.
Yeah.
So helping readers deal with cliffhangers. So one is you can have the chapter of the next book, the first chapter, at the end, which is a usual technique just in trying to push and sell books anyway, right? You try to hook them into the next story just by having that first chapter right there.
Hmm. And so I think I told you, I did this on Star Child. None of my beta readers read it. They said they wanted to wait until they had the full book two, which is not what I wanted. I wanted them to get hooked, but they...
Anyway. Well... But I mean,
it didn't work.
But
that was only beta readers. Maybe yeah. It's different with.
But with you, but I mean, right now, if they read the first chapter, be like, oh, and they can just go get it now.
Yeah.
Right. So part of it is you can have that satiation there, and then another technique is, of course, rapid release or multiple release, right? So that even though these books have cliffhangers, they don't actually have to wait to get them. They can just go get it as soon as they finish this one.
Well, so like Stranger Things on Netflix.
Yeah, like a Netflix release.
Every episode is a very intense
cliffhanger.
Suspense. Yeah.
But you can just watch the next episode.
And then the very last episode doesn't... I mean, it has a little, usually at the end of each season, but it's not, mostly
it's not a really intense one.
Yeah, the tension is released.
And then sometimes just a if the books aren't out yet and you don't have a rapid release or multi-release plan, just putting the date of when you plan to release the next book can just help ease their anxiety just a little. So, but cliffhangers make some readers angry, and that's not how they like their fiction. And when you make people angry, they will leave negative reviews about it. It's part of the gamble you have when you put one in. So as I said, in the next, I don't know if we may continue finish in our ending series before we dive into cliffhangers, but then we will go into very specific details of a chapter cliffhanger. But as always, if you enjoy the show, leave us a review. I actually haven't looked in ages. I've had people
but we still want them
commenting on Podbean. I don't know how to reply to those comments. I've tried, so I apologize that I can't reply to you there. But I've tried. It just won't let me. So I don't even know how they're leaving those comments.
But if you want to reply, you should email us at
jbendoski@gmail.com. So, or if you just go to the website, that's josephbendoski.com/start-writing. There, you can click on the contact there. It'll go there as well. Yeah. So, yeah. And if you enjoy the show, tell your writer friends about it. Have them check us out. Pick one of your favorite episodes and say, hey, these guys talk about this. They do a really good job. Why don't you check them out?
And also, if you want to support us, pick up one of our books. Star Child's out. It's getting great reviews.
Yeah. So, and the Skyfall series has 3 books out now. The first book, The Skyfall Conspiracy, and then on through the series. So, yeah. And as always, thanks for listening.